Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing this afternoon is taken from two readings of Scripture. I'll focus your attention to the primary reading, James 1, verses 13 to 15, on page 1216 in the Pew Bibles, 1216. But we'll also read as some background, Luke 8, 31 through 34. James 1, 13 through 15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The first word of our God. And now Luke 18, 31 through 34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, it has probably been around as long as the game. The batter swings the bat to loosen the muscles, taps the bat on the ground to knock loose the weight, walks to the batter's box, scrapes his feet into the earth, pivots on the balls of his feet to get a grip, taps the plate with his bat, moves his feet some more, and then makes the sign of the cross before crouching into his stance. In the classic horror movie, the damsel in distress plays with the cross around her neck, and the hero holds the cross in front as the demon takes form, but feet away. Some people, when they are dedicating a new building or a new home, might ask their pastor to come and help celebrate the new beginning and bring along the name of God, and at some point along the way, make the sign of the cross. Some of you may have a cross in your pocket. To what end? To what end these things? Some kind of lucky rabbit's foot to keep evil, to keep bad luck away? To what end? The sign of the cross, the physical cross. From where comes the most dangerous evil on the Christian's journey home to heaven? Does the most dangerous evil come from outside of us, or does it by chance come from within? Before Martin Luther met Jesus on the pages of Holy Scripture, he tried really hard to make himself holy enough for an angry God, and he did it by running away from the evil of the world, so he thought, and diving into the self-denying life of a monk. Listen to his words written after Jesus freed him from this flawed view of godly living. Luther wrote, "For we are not made for fleeing human company, but living in society and sharing the struggle of good and evil. We must be ready to live among wicked people, and there everyone must be ready to prove his or her holiness, instead of becoming impatient and running away. It does not help you at all to run away from other people. For within, you are still carrying the same old scoundrel, the lust and evil appetite that clings to your flesh. Even if you are all alone with the door locked, still you cannot deny your father and mother, nor can you discard your flesh and blood. You have no call to pick up your feet and run away, but to stay put, to stand and battle against every kind of temptation with patience, to see it through, and to triumph. Martin Luther understood well the battle of temptation. And he would echo with us today the theme for our Ash Wednesday worship. Temptation is an issue of the heart. My heart that betrays me, and God's heart that saves me. My heart that betrays me. What is the best strategy for catching a largemouth bass? The old timers among us would say, well, the best way to a bass's heart is through his stomach. If he's hungry, he'll bite. Friends, I can tell you, it never ceases to amaze me over all the years, the things that a bass will strike at when it is hungry. But as goes the largemouth bass, so goes the human heart. If it is hungry, it will bite. Now, that comparison is not so good for the fisherman because sometimes the bass isn't hungry and it will not bite. But it's also not a good comparison for the Christian because the human heart is always hungry and wants to bite. Those of you who know me well know this story, but I tell it all the time. When Nathan Strobel goes to the birthday party of a one-year-old little kid, and my mother would have said, and there, he or she's as cute as a bug's ear, whatever that meant, and I survey the food for the spread for the meal, and I survey the scrumptious birthday cake, which piece do I always want? The biggest. The biggest. And it doesn't matter how cute the kid is. My sinful nature is always hungry and it always wants the biggest piece. Truth be told, your sinful nature is also always hungry and wants to bite. God says so, and you and I, well, we know so. Let's listen to God. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every leaning of the human heart is evil from childhood." You see, a part of me will always want the biggest piece. It's how I lean. What is your pet sin? What would it take to get you to bite? How many pictures off the internet would I need to put up on the screen before your sinful nature would bite? Before it would have to at least sneak a peek or maybe chew just a little bit? Let's be careful how quickly we answer. Let's remember how Jesus challenged the Jews of his day in his Sermon on the Mount. When he said this, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor,' but I tell you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you." We hear that and we cannot help but admit the sinful nature is always hungry. Sins of thought come easily. Unchecked sins of thought become sins of words and actions, and unrepented of, those sins become death for us. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But the sinful nature is also selfish. You know, there are times that a bass is not hungry, but there are other ways to get it to bite. You see, largemouth bass are territorial, especially during the spawning season in early June, and they don't like to be surprised. So how do you catch them? Well, you get in their face, you get in their space, and you watch the show. A little topwater action, a shallow diver, and wow! Again, as the largemouth bass, so the human heart by nature is territorial. People get in our face and we are quick to push back when we have been wronged. We can be so quick to rush to judgment, so quick to snap. I don't know what it sounds like in your life, but it could be this way in mine. Why did you say it that way? What are you implying? I don't like to work with him. With that college education of his and his snappy clothes and his happy personality, he makes me look bad. What is she doing here? I don't like her, and I planned this get-together, and she's ruining everything. You know, bass are so predictable when you get in their space because God wired them that way for survival, and it's all good. We are so predictable in that way because it is also how we are wired, because sin is woven through our human nature. And we wired ourselves that way. The day in the garden when we kicked God off his throne and in selfishness chose our own way, not good. The sinful nature is selfish. The thoughts come easily. Unchecked, the thoughts become words and actions. Unrepented of, those sins kill us. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But are we ever tempted to try to blame God when we are being tempted? Kind of like, Lord, the woman you gave me? Lord, if you hadn't had me lose that job, I wouldn't even be tempted to underreport my income for taxes. You know, God, if you just gave me a nice husband like she has, I wouldn't be tempted to despise the one I got. Lord, if you hadn't taken my spouse so early, I wouldn't be depressed and kind of mean-spirited most of the time. And God, if you hadn't put those strong desires in my heart, well, you and I wouldn't be having these problems now, would we? Bottom line, do we ever think to ourselves, God, you need to step up your game a little bit here. Life's not going so well. You promised to work through all things for my good, and I'm not seeing it right now. And so James wrote. He said, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed, lured. Why did God create the desires in us? And are those desires ever the problem in and of themselves? A wise person once said, I believe God gave us all of those desires so that we would live a balanced life and so that we would enjoy more of the blessings that he has packed into creation. But then what happened that those desires can be such a challenge and can cause so much hurt in our lives and in the lives of others? The sin inside of me is a big deal, isn't it? And temptation really is an issue of my heart that always betrays me. Yes, my sin, my friends, sin is a big deal. Sin is a big deal because my sin hurts you, and it hurts my relationship with God. God becomes angry over sin, and he is serious about sin and in dealing with that sin. And how do we know? Another wise man once said, "Learn to see what the wrath of God is by looking at what the wrath of God does." Learn to see what the wrath of God is by looking at what the wrath of God does. My friends, sin is a serious issue of the human heart, but it is also a serious issue of God's heart. God is love, and God is holy. As a holy God, he is serious about sin, and he must punish sin and the sinner, but God is also wired to love unconditionally, putting us first. So what does his love look like? God loved so that he gave, that those who believe would live. So serious is our sin that the cross had to come. So serious is God's love that he had to make it happen, putting us first. What a big heart in our God, so different from mine, so different from yours. Focusing on us, God planned the cross and sent his Son. And as the Father, so the Son. So serious about our sin. It's how Jesus rolled. At one point in his ministry, he was experiencing this groundswell of support from the people. So much so that the leaders of the Jews finally had enough. And they began to plot how to frame him and to kill him and to get rid of him. And so much so that Jesus finally had to lay it down pretty heavy to his followers exactly what he had come to do. That he was serious about our sin. That punishment was required. That he was the Lamb of God. That he was the love of God. So there would be a cross. There would be a cross. It's how he rolled. And it's why he would die. We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything written about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. They did not know what he was talking about. Think how tempting the temptations were for Jesus at that time. The cross would be physical agony. The cross was daily warfare with Satan every day of Jesus' life. Give it up, brother, it's too hard. And the cross would be hell. Literally, as Jesus would be separated from his Father in heaven and all the blessings of his Father in heaven. And God's word tells us that Jesus was tempted like us in every way. How did it go? You know, you're right, Peter, you're a good friend of mine. This shouldn't happen to me. Thanks for being a friend and saying it. Is that how it went? Get behind me, Satan. You know, Satan could just give me all the kingdoms of the world and I wouldn't have to die. Is that how it went? No. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, Satan. Come down from the cross if you are the Christ. I am the Christ and I am coming down. Is that how it went? No. As a lamb before the shearers is silent, so I will not open my mouth. My friends, God's heart saved us. God's heart saves us. It's how he rolls. He placed us first in spite of the cost, and he died for our sins. He placed us first that he might put his presence back into our hearts and give us his kind of love, unconditional love for him and for people that fights temptation from without and goes to war against the heart that betrays me from within. It's how our God rolls. So, the cross in baseball, in the face of evil, in my pocket, around my neck, to what end? Well, when Martin Luther taught God's people to pray, he wrote this: in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The hymn writer, Henry Light, wrote this. Let's sing it together.
Da 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 da. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
Does the physical cross, the sign of the cross, have a proper place in the life of God's people? By all means. But not so much to hold at bay the evil outside of us, but to remind us of the new heart that God has placed within us. The heart that kneels at the cross of Jesus Christ and of the forgiveness of sins. A heart that rises to fight the temptations from without and from within. And a heart that trusts my God in everything, today and tomorrow and every day. You see, temptation is an issue of the heart. But by God's grace, the key thought, it's an issue of his heart. And we are saved, and we are blessed. And all God's people say, amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us sing.